Hey everyone, this is Jaron Hollis with The Believer's Church. I'm so happy that you're here today. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. I pray that it inspires you, it challenges you, and it helps you grow in your relationship with God. Enjoy.
It's good to be in the house, isn't it? And we're just about to break into summer. I'm excited about that. I hope you are. And you're a good-looking crowd today. Why don't you give yourselves a great big hand? While you're at it, didn't the worship team do a fabulous job? We're very, very thankful for that level of worship. And I'm just thrilled to be in the pulpit today. I'm excited about the message. I very seldom ever teach. This will be the third time this year that we've even approached the subject of money. And basically, I want you to understand what my goal is before I start. My goal is to release you from the fear of money. Okay? I want you to understand that there's no reason to fear. God set it up, and I'm going to try to take you from A to Z today. If you'll take the two that I taught over the last 3 or 4 months and then tie it to this one, it'll be great. I've had a lot of people come to me and ask me about this. They've said, could you do a little more on this? And we would appreciate it. So I'm going to try to help you with that today. And everybody say, you're going to help me back in Jesus' name. Would you do that? All right. Have you ever had a discussion about finances with your spouse? I'm hearing a little bit of nervous laughter in the building. Raise your hand if you've ever had a discussion with your spouse about finances. Wasn't that just one of the most joyful days in your life at home? I mean, wasn't that just absolutely mind-blowing, amazing? I'm going to be confessing for my wife today. I'll confess for her that she's never enjoyed the discussion of finances in our home. But we've had several through the years. And let me just say this. We seldom ever disagree. It's the truth. We just don't. But you could feel the atmosphere of the room changing when we started talking about bills and money and income outgo. So let me just give you a little wisdom here. You men that are listening, you don't have to do what I do, but I never touch the money. I just, when I get paid, it just goes straight to Renee. And that's the truth. I'm not being funny. It does. She takes care of the household and so every great once in a while, she'll put $20 or $40, maybe once or twice a year, she'll put $40 on my nightstand. And you wouldn't think I'd get excited about that, but I do. Honey, I get excited about that. I just want you to know it. That's the truth. Money is not a big issue in my life. I just use money for what it is. It's leverage. I'm trying to get through this thing called life. And I think we all want enough to take care of the bills. Can I see your hand? You just don't want money to be a pain, right? And we won't talk about where that pain is, but we just don't want money to be a pain. I just want you to know that we're the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And one thing that is seldom talked about in church today is money. It's been abused. It was abused really bad back in the 80s and 90s. And man, congregations all over the country just started roaring about these guys that were trying to get you to send them money. And then they talked about their Lear jets and all of that. And I do have a moped. I want you to know that right up front. I do. But I don't have even a small plane and don't plan on it. But anyway, Jesus spends a lot of time talking about rewards, and he does talk about money quite a bit. And I want you to understand that it's okay for you to have, since you are the bride of Christ, he wants you to understand. I can't be more emphatic than that. He wants you to deeply understand his agreement with you as his spouse as to how it goes. And so I want to try to help you with that today, if you will allow me. And this will be the only time for the remainder of the year that I speak on this subject, unless God comes down and wakes me up in the middle of the night and says, you're going to do it again. This is going to be it. So I hope you enjoy it. I do think it's revelatory, And I just wish somebody would have reached into my life as a young man and said, this is how the kingdom of God works. This is how the finances in the kingdom work. I wish somebody would have told me that. I would have been a lot better off a lot earlier on. So there is a covenant agreement, or let me say it differently, there is a supernatural principle that God will honor as long as this planet exists. I'll make my case in just a moment. Let's look at Philippians 4 and 19 from the Amplified Bible. And my God will liberally supply. Everybody say liberally supply. That means fill until full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I want to make it very clear that God is helping you understand. I don't think he's boasting, but he wants you to understand he's rich. God wants you to understand that, I mean, when the Bible talks about streets of gold and on, and please don't tune me out. I just need you to understand that God, money isn't a big deal to God at all. You need to understand that. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Yet we live in a world full of limited supply and demand. The good news is we serve a God that will never run out of resources. That's a good amen, and thank you for that. The Bible tells us to fear not, and the Bible makes it very clear that we're not to walk in fear. One of the greatest fears is the fear of not having enough money. We all face this at one point or another in our lives. We face it. Something happens. The car breaks down. There is a issue in our life and unexpected medical bills, and we could just go on and on. So we're going to start with, and I've already taught on this year, but we're going to start on the fact that the Bible says, let's just look at it. It says it in Malachi 3, 10 and 11. It says from the English Standard Version, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. And if you've never heard the word tithe, it means 10% of your income that can either be on net or on gross, however you decide to do it. But bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. This is your husband talking to you. And thereby put me to the test. Everybody say, put me to the test. One more time strong, put me to the test. I want you to understand that term, put me to the test. It's the only time he says it in Scripture. There are Scriptures that actually warn about testing God, but God says here, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you. Okay? Stay with it. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. So we don't live in an agricultural society, but God is basically saying that he's going to rebuke the devourer. When the devourer comes and tries to tear things up and mess with your pocketbook, God says, I'll rebuke him. So I want you to understand right from the get-go, and I don't know if they put the slide up or not for the opening slide. I'm sorry I didn't do that. If you'll put it up, sowing and reaping, binding and loosing, all right? I want you to understand that there is a very close tie here. He says, I will rebuke the devourer, or he will bind the devourer so that he cannot attack you in the area of your harvest. And since we are in 2025, it would mean your finances. Devourer can mean just about anything from a broken down car to unexpected expenses, unexpected hospital stays. This is not a give and get message. This is a bind and loose message. I need for you to get a revelation right here, right now, in your mind and in your heart. This is about binding and loosing, okay? You're going to need a little bit more for that, so here we go. Binding in the Bible means to literally bind the enemy, and loosing means to open up the windows of heaven for you. So I want to remind you again from the Amplified Bible, and we've already read it once, but, and my God will liberally supply your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Again, we live in a world of limited supply and demand. We are instructed to never measure today's demands by our limited supply. We're not supposed to do that. You got a bill coming up. You're not supposed to look at what you've got and say, do I have enough? Because God says, hey, wait a minute. Your J-O-B isn't your provider. I'm your Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. I'll take care of you. I would be very unhappy with Renee if Renee started coming to me every week and saying, are you sure we have enough, honey? I would be insulted because I've tried to be a good provider. We are told in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. The question is how do we go from our supply to heaven's supply? How do we do that? Can we make that transition from the land of never enough up to the position of the land of more than enough? The land of abundance. And so you say, well, Pastor, I need scripture for this. Well, the Bible, the Old Testament is the New Testament unfolded. I'm sorry, the Old Testament is the New Testament unfolded. The New Testament is the Old Testament unfolded. I got it wrong, so please forgive me. So here's what that means. That means when God told them, I'm going to take you out of slavery and I'm going to take you to the land that flows with milk and honey. He's talking about a supernatural relationship. You understand those Old Testament stories are types and shadows of things to come. God is telling you, I'm going to take you. I'm going to eventually get you. You may walk through a wilderness, but I'm going to get you to a place where there is voluptuous living. So again, how do we go from our supply to heaven's supply? And I'm going to quote from the RHP version of the Bible. The RHP is the Randy Hollis paraphrased version. This is Malachi 3:11. I will bind the devourer so he can't get to your harvest or your finances. I'll bind him. Okay? Look at Matthew 16 and 19 with me from the English Standard Version. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Everybody say, I got the keys. Here's what the keys mean. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All right? The keys give you the power to bind and loose. Now, I want to read that again, and some of you think, well, Pastor, you're being a little too redundant, but I want you to understand more clearly what he means. So here's Matthew 16, 19 again from the New American Standard Bible. I like it because I think it's actually more correct. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Let me just say this. You're not allowed to bind anything on earth that hasn't been bound in heaven. And you're not allowed to loose anything on earth that hasn't been loosed in heaven. Are you with me? You have to understand, if you're going to walk in the authority and the power of binding and loosing, then you have to understand what has been bound in heaven and what has been loosed in heaven. Are you with me? You still going? All right. I need you to understand right here, we're going to take a little twist. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job description. What's the devil doing in my life? Well, he's trying to steal from you, the devourer. He's trying to kill you. And he's trying to destroy everything about your life. But there is a covenant agreement, thank God. There's a covenant agreement that takes you out from underneath the devil's economy. And we're going to talk about that. Let me give you the principle in the New Testament. The principle is that we give voluntarily to support the needs of others. That's Acts 2:45. All right. And Romans 15:25 through 27. I'm rushing along here. You'll have to forgive me. The next reason for giving is to support Christian workers or Christian work. All right? We do that in India. We do that in several places around the world, South Africa. We do it in as many places as we can. We've actually helped other churches start right here in America. And then the last one is to expand kingdom outreach. And we give for these reasons in general. So now we're going to go to the law of sowing and reaping, because this is sowing and reaping has to do with binding and loosing. So what you sow today, you will begin to reap in the very near future. Your life right now is a result of the seeds you've been planting. Stay with me. Your life right now, right where you're at in this room, no matter what your situation, is a direct result of the seeds you've been planting, good or bad. So you have to make up your mind and be intentional. I want to sow good seed and not bad seed. Gentlemen, let me help you. If your wife walks into the room and turns around and says, "Does my dress make me look big?" Please don't sow bad seed right there. Okay, I'm going to give you permission in Jesus' name to sow the right seed, even if it might be a little fib. I'm just... Again, your life right now is a result of the seeds you've been sowing and planting, good or bad. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you can't sow corn seed and expect to get watermelon. Some of you are sowing seeds of death with your mouth. And you're mad at God because you aren't experiencing life and life more abundantly. But you're just getting the crop you've been sowing seed for all this time. You've been sowing, 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 and then you're mad because the crop comes up. You still with me? You cannot cheat this law. But if you have the power and you understand the power, you can change your future. Your present life is not happening randomly. It is the culmination of past decisions, past actions, and words spoken. You see, this is so much deeper. I'm going to give you four words, and what I'm about to tell you is probably the shortest sentence on distilling life down to what it actually is. Life is a harvest. Four words. Life is a harvest. And you're the one sowing seed. Nobody else sowing your seed. You're sowing your seed. You're the one that's sowing the seed, whether it be good or bad, whether you've got a potty mouth or whether you speak blessings or curses. It's all about you and what you're doing, all right? Listen to what Galatians 6 and 7 says from the New Living Translation. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Not some of the time. Not every once in a while. You will always harvest what you plant. Can I just tell you right now that you need to quit blaming everybody else around you and understand that there's a law you can't get away from. It's as sure as the law of gravity. You're sowing seed every day when you get up. You're sowing seed in your thought life. You're sowing seed with your mouth. You're sowing seeds in your marriage. You're sowing seeds in on the job. This is a spiritual and a universal law. What if the struggles you are facing right now in your life are not an attack, but rather a harvest? Can I ask that again? What if the struggles you're facing right now in your life are not an attack, but rather a harvest? You know, this is not just about giving money in church. If you sow faith and obedience, you will reap God's blessings. If you sow doubt and fear and disobedience, you'll reap struggle and frustration. If you sow love, kindness, and patience, you will reap strong relationships. I've got strong relationships. Why? Because I'm love and I'm loving and kind and patient with my friends. I picked some great friends. They're all world changers, and I thank God for them, and I have strong relationships in my life. They've always got my six. I can pick up the phone when I leave here today and call some people and say, "I'm going through some stuff." We absolutely, man, we're with you, Pastor Randy. We got you. I'm talking about other preachers around the country, and they'll call me throughout the week and say, "How you doing, bro? I'm praying for you. I love you." Why are they telling me that they love me and they care deeply for me? Why are they doing that? Because I constantly tell them I love them and I care for them and I'm praying over them. I'm sowing the seeds, and therefore the harvest is coming back. This truth simply cannot be avoided or ignored. It's woven throughout the scriptures. Where does this principle come from? Why does it govern everything we experience? This is not just some spiritual idea. This is a law set in place by God Himself. Okay, Pastor, where is it? If there's a law, well, let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. When God created the world, he set this law into place. Look at Genesis 8 and 22 with me from the New International Version. It says, as long as the earth endures, for how long? Somebody help me. Okay. For as long as the earth endures, seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Did the sun come up this morning? Seed time and harvest is in place. Are we about to leave spring and go into summer? Seed time and harvest is still in place. Will the sun set tonight? Seed time and harvest are in place. You can't get away from it. As sure as the sun rises and sets, you are always in the cycle of sowing seed. I'm sorry if somebody didn't tell you that you were responsible for your actions. I mean that. I'm being as kind as I know how to be. I wish somebody had told me when I was a young man that I was responsible for everything I said and that it was going to come back to hit me. Yeah. Right? Anybody ever try to kick somebody and feel it in their own hiney? What in the world? Seed time and harvest is the law of sowing and reaping, and it is as unchangeable as the rising and setting of the sun. This is not just about agriculture. It's about every area of your life. The truth is inescapable. Life is a harvest. Four words, life. Your whole life from the time you're born to the time you die is a harvest. There are no shortcuts. There are no exemptions. You're reaping what you've sown. What seeds are you planting in your life today? Are you sowing good or bad seeds in your marriage? Are you sowing wisely or foolishly in your finances? One of the reasons that I felt so strongly to teach is I'm not sure that you will be holding dollar bills in the next 24 months. Anybody go to Taco Bell lately? Maybe you're not a fan. My wife and I like Taco Bell. It's just convenient. Don't like the gas that follows, but I do like Taco Bell. I'm sorry, Renee. I shouldn't have told them that about you. No, I'm kidding. I better stay on this side of the pulpit. It's where I need to be today. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when we could go to Taco Bell and it was $8.45 and we're like, man, that's a cheap meal. Go there now, spend the same thing. It's $21, $22 with tax. I'm like, what in the world? Did the food get more expensive? No, the dollar got smaller. If you've ever exchanged currency overseas, you'll understand what I mean. When you take an American dollar and give it, and then you're getting a Mexican peso, you get 17 of their dollars for one of American dollar. At least that's what the exchange was last time I went to Cancun. Don't know what it is now, but I need you to understand that the American dollar is failing and failing fast. They're beginning to close bank branches across the country. I don't have time to go into this, but if I can just give you a tip, be very, very careful in who you're trusting. Don't trust the bank. Don't trust the dollar. I'm just telling you right now, if we ever needed to trust the Jehovah Jireh, now is the hour. If we ever needed to trust our husband, if we ever needed to trust God, now is the hour. The time to plant right seed is right now. Most of you are sowing time, and let me ask a question. Do we have time to work our spiritual landscape, or are we too busy struggling to make a decent wage? Most of you are sowing time and reaping a money harvest. You spend the lion's share of your life. Some of you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And what are you doing? You're sowing time at a business somewhere, and they're handing you a check. That's the way it works. That's not the way it works in the economy of God. God's economy is entirely different, and I need you to understand that. Most of you are sowing time and reaping money. Those of you that trust your boss are probably pretty upset with me right now. But those of you who trust God are about to have a party. And I need you to be aware of that. Thank you. Somebody's already ready. Somebody came ready to party, right? And so let's have a party. Pastor, please help me find the time and the faith to work on the right harvest for my life. I get this a lot. I'd love to do more, Pastor. I'd love to do more for the kingdom. I just don't have the time. Help me find the time to sow seed for the right harvest in my life, for my marriage, and for my children. What if the breakthrough you've been praying for is waiting on you to start sowing the right seeds? You keep begging God for a breakthrough, but you're sowing the wrong seed. Sow faith and not doubt. Sow courage and not despair. Life is waiting on you to sow wisely and live intentionally. I want to say it again. Life is waiting on you to sow wisely and live intentionally. Let's look at the New Living Translation. This is Galatians 6 and 9. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, everybody say the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You sow the right seed, you wait for the right time, you'll get the right harvest. That is a promise from your husband in heaven. I'm going to say it again. You sow the right seed, you wait for the right time, and you'll get the right harvest. Had somebody come up to me right after church and said, man, I loved the message this morning. It was amazing. But, you know, my spouse and I, we started tithing, we started giving, and things have not gotten much better. I said, wait a minute. You already sowed the seed for the harvest you're walking through. Then you started sowing good seed. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't stop sowing good seed. Walk on out of that harvest. There's a good harvest on the way. Is that all right? That's about like a husband come up to me and say, hey, I called my wife honey today. I hope we have a better evening. Just keep sowing that honey. Just keep sowing that I love you. Just keep looking at her and going, The harvest will come. This is the main problem. Many have grown tired right before the blessings come. What if Noah gave up and stopped building the ark before the flood came? What if Moses retired right in the middle of the wilderness, 20 years in? Imagine Jesus giving up before he went to the cross. Thank God he went all the way to the cross. I'm part of the harvest. I don't know about you, but I'm part of the harvest of an old rugged cross. Thank God he didn't give up. Again, you're always planting something. Many of you planted awesome seed this morning. You got up, got dressed, got here. You're hearing the infallible word of God spoken over your life. You're sowing great seed today. Don't ever give up. Don't ever decide that it's better to go to a ball game than it is to church. I know it's going to get quiet here for a moment. Don't ever decide that it's better to stay home and cook for the Super Bowl than come to church. Sow the right seed. Remember this. This is 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now we're talking about measurement. Now we're talking about how, you know, here's what amazes me. Somebody doesn't sow it all into the kingdom, but they're constantly on their knees praying for a harvest. That's like a farmer that plows the field and never puts one seed in it. That's like a Christian repenting, right? That's plowing up the hard soil, breaking up the fallow ground, and you've made your heart right, but you never sowed one seed. And you're down praying for a mighty harvest and wondering why the harvest doesn't come. This scripture gives you enlightenment. It says, if you sow only a few seeds, you will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. This is God Almighty. This is the truth speaking. This is the infallible word of God. You cannot pray for a great harvest while sowing sparingly. You reap what you sow. Let me break this down. Nobody ever broke this down. This is what I was saying earlier. I wish somebody would have spoken this over my life when I was a young man. I would have got out of debt a whole lot quicker than when I did. But here's what the Bible says. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. Have you ever wondered? Go ahead and put that up. Thank you. Have you ever wondered why the Bible says bring and not, you know, I've had people come up and say, I paid my tithe. No, you didn't. Well, what do you mean? Yes, I did. I filled out my check, put it in the envelope, put it back there in the box. I paid my tithe. You can't pay what was never yours. That's why the Bible very specifically says bring and not pay. That's why the Bible says bring and not give. Because God says, wait a minute, the first 10% of everything you make is mine as our in our relationship. Husband-wife relationship. You see, I'm going to let you give me 10% of yours, but I'm going to give you the riches of heaven. I need more help there. I need somebody to help me if you believe that God is not a liar. I need you to, whatever that 10% is, all right, I need you to partner with me in the 10%, and then I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. I've already read that. I'll rebuke the devourer. But this is what it says. It says, you bring the tithe, but you give an offering. Okay, so the tithe is 10%, but the offering equals seed, and that's up to you. It's what you decide to give. Okay, but you can't expect for the power, listen to me, he'll rebuke the devourer, he'll meet your needs, but if you want to walk in the power of multiplication with God, if you want to walk in the right contract with God where he is actually pouring blessing after blessing after blessing, then you need to go to the farmer's field and learn a lesson here. And the lesson is that your harvest is going to directly be related to the amount of seed you sow. Are you with me? Okay, so put up the next slide, the picture. Anybody know how many seeds are in an apple? What's that? You're cheating. You were here in the first service. Somebody spank her right now. I was looking forward to you guessing. On average, an apple contains between 5 and 10 seeds. I want you to understand that the seed inside that apple holds the power of multiplication. So never ask how many seeds are in an apple. Always ask how many apples are in a seed. If you get this, you're going to be jumping up and down. How many apples are in a seed? Not how many seeds are in an apple. How many apples are in a seed? You see, now you're stepping into the realm of infinity. I gave offerings 30 years ago that are still producing and producing far more now than they did 30 years ago. My reward in heaven is just growing and growing and growing. Put up the next slide so they'll get what I'm saying. So a farmer gets an apple, he cuts it open, he takes the 5 seeds, he plants them, and all of a sudden he's got 5 apple trees, and who knows how many apples are going to grow on that tree every year. My wife and I used to live right down the road here, and the guy planted apple trees 40 years ago, 50 years ago he planted them, and every year when it's harvest time, those limbs are hanging heavy. Sometimes the limbs are actually touching the ground. There's so many apples. Planted one seed, and every year, that guy sold the land and moved away, and the apple trees kept producing. The guy died, and the apple trees just kept producing. A builder bought the land and was gonna build a lot of houses over there. He went into bankruptcy. The apple trees didn't care. They just kept producing apples. Are you with me? Are you with me? I've already sown into the kingdom that will still be producing long after I'm gone. So what is the power of opening an apple, taking the 5 seeds, eating the apple, but taking the 5 seeds and planting them, and next year off the 5 trees, taking at least 10% of those apples, cutting them open and getting the seed, and before you know it, you'll have apples as far as the eye can see because you're moving into the realm of multiplication and infinity. Are you getting this? Again, the tithe, he's promised to meet all your needs, but offerings hold the power of multiplication. Now, without you answering me, yes, I mean you. The Bible talks about when you sow seed, you're going to reap a harvest. Some, a certain amount, a certain amount, and a certain amount. What are those amounts? Okay, I think I just heard somebody. Say it out loud. 30, 60, and 100. Who said that? Not this person. Who said that in Scripture? Is that divinely ordered of God? Is that part of the seed time and harvest cycle? Okay, so we're going to go to the 100 because I need to move along pretty quickly. If you sow a penny in the kingdom, and God says, I'll give you up to 100-fold back. If you sow a penny, what can you in faith pray for and expect God to do if he does his best? There you go. All right, the light bulb is coming on. If you sow a penny, you've got a right to believe God that someone. Now we're talking about tithe. We're talking, you see, over and above your tithe, the 10% is when you actually start sowing seed. It's not seed till you get beyond tithe. But once you get beyond tithe, now you're sowing seed. So a person that sows a penny can believe God for a dollar. You want me to go a little further? All right, a person that sows a dime, if they sow a dime and God promises or tells you, I can give you up to 100-fold, how much are you talking about if you sow a dime? Somebody help me, you can do the math. $10. You sow a dime, and if God blesses you 100-fold, you've got $10 coming back your way. That's like walking into your house and going over to your spouse's nightstand where that little change thing is and throwing a dime in, and the next morning when you get up, there's $10 on your nightstand. And again, I can already feel it. Somebody said, oh, he's preaching a give to get message. No, I'm not. I'm trying to teach you how to loose and bind with this. I'm talking about taking the keys of the kingdom and open them up and trusting God. All right, so we did a dime. How about if you sow a dollar? If you sow a dollar, what can you expect? That's easy, right? You can expect, you can pray. Now, what happens if you don't give a penny and you get down and start praying for a harvest? How much you got coming back? Thank you. Somebody said zero. Anybody else? Somebody say nada. Somebody say nothing. Thank you. If I don't sow seed, I'm getting nothing back. Absolutely nothing. The goose egg. Getting nothing back. If you sow $100, you have every right to pray for what? This is where the light bulb starts coming on. You start sowing. You say, okay, I've always given a dollar in the offering, but this week I feel like I'm going to give 100. God says, all right, I just want you to know what the potential of that offering is or that seed that you're sowing. That's $10,000. If you sow $1,000, what is 100 times 1,000? That's 100,000. Stay with me. I'm just trying to tell you what your husband in heaven is telling you could happen. All right, now I went to the best case, I did, because we didn't have time to go all the way through that. So why is that? Because you loose the potential of heaven and the full potential is 100-fold. Please put up the next slide. Thank you. The seed is what you have, okay? And you have the power every time you come to the house of God. Every time you get in a kingdom-oriented situation, you have the power to sow seed. And so you have a 30, 60, 100-fold promise from God. And what you're basically doing is you're saying this. You're saying, okay, I've got an offering over and above my tithe. I've got this offering. I'm going to believe God and take him at his word. Therefore, I am binding the promise of God. I need you to get this. I got my offering right here, and I know what, it's at least 30, 60, 100. Is there anybody here that's got a need in the house right now? I just want to know. Is there anybody here that could use a blessing of God? You've got every right as a child of God, as the bride of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to say, okay, you said test you, so I'm going to test you. I got an offering right here, and I can believe you for either 30, 60, or 100. It doesn't matter which way I go, but I know I've got the right to take your word and this offering and bind. Are you getting this? I need you to get it. You say, oh, he's preaching about money. No, I'm not. I'm preaching about blessing. I'm preaching about the law of harvest, sowing, and reaping, which we will do that for the rest of our lives every day that we live. So you sow the right amount of seed, put up this last picture. I think this is the last picture. And you got a mighty harvest coming. It's on the way. If you've got the stamina to walk it out, here, what am I saying? I'm saying you can either be a worker on the farm or you can own the farm. You have to make up your mind which one you want to do. You either want to be a worker on the farm or you want to own the farm. And as far as I'm concerned, all right, turn to your neighbor, smile at him, say, I got good news. He's on his final verse. Woo. Wasn't that painful, was it? All right. From the New Living Translation, Luke 6:38. Give and you will receive. Law of the harvest. The law of sowing and reaping. How long is the law of sowing and reaping going to be around? How long? As long as the earth is alive and well, there's going to be the law of, you cannot escape it. You can't shortcut it. Well, I gave a penny in the offering, but I'm believing God for $1 million. Well, kind of outside the law, but, and I'm talking about the principle, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. I think God just being a little silly there. He's like, you want to know how much? You put a bucket there, I'm going to fill the bucket until it's spilling over in your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Are you with me? Again, I know what you give to get. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sowing and the amounts, which is 30, 60, and 100. So with that said, I did this many years ago, and I actually had several people come to me and say, Would you, Pastor, please bring it back? So here it is. So this is you. And this is your limited supply, and this is God in his unlimited supply. And I rebuke this in Jesus' name. Somebody threw two snakes in the kingdom right here. I don't know. Who did that? Who did it? Travis Jameson? You snake handler, you? Somebody came up to me before church and said, what's in the box, snakes? I don't cuss, but you're a fart. That's all there is to it. Okay. So now you've got this principle and you say, okay, and this is exactly, please leave that scripture up. This is exactly, okay, I'm gonna sow some seed in God's kingdom. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, I'm going to sow five seeds in God's kingdom. God says, okay, now you've given me permission. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Okay, I'm going to give one, two, three, four, five back into your life. But now keep this in mind. I said 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So I'm going to go, and we can just go on and on to where, okay, he decides to give 30. And then you say, wait a minute, man, that I'm finding out that's true. It works. So when he says, whatever measure I use, whatever amount you give, okay, so I'm gonna right into God's kingdom. God says, okay, thank you. Now you've deputized me to use the same measure back in your life, and it's gonna go a lot better than it was before. Because is somebody with me? Now some of you are not silly. You understand, and you go, wait a minute, wait. He's honoring that. I think what I'm gonna do is get me a bigger scoop. Now you know, and God says, okay, you're just trying me, test me. Okay, you tested me. I'm going to show you that I'm not a liar. Here you go. In that portion, here it comes back. Here it comes back, right? And you say, wait a minute. I'm not done with this thing yet, man. I'm going to, here I go, right here, right now. And God says, okay, here we go, here we go. We're just going to get good measure, pressed down, shaking together. And you go, oh, wait a minute, God. I didn't know you were going to be true to your word. Here we go, right here, right now. God says, okay, here we go. Here we go. Travis, get up here and sit down right there and stick your legs out. You're going to get it, boy. God, I didn't know you were going to be that faithful, so here I go. God says, okay. I said I'd give to you good measure, praise down, running over. Here we go. Here we go. Anybody here know you can trust the Almighty God, the great Jehovah Jireh? I hope you're getting a revelation here right now. I hope you understand that my God is faithful. My God is faithful. The great news is, I'm not taking up an offering today. I'm not. But I do believe we have the power to bind and loose. Is there anybody in this room that is absolutely sick and tired of worrying about money? I need you to come down here right now, because my goal is to break the fear of money off of your life in every way possible. To break the fear of money off of your life. Say, Pastor, every time I turn around, if you'll follow these principles, you listen to me. If you follow these principles, I don't know what you're going to decide. I hope I don't freak you out. But I remember when I thought it was a big deal to put a dollar in the plate. I did. I thought it was a big deal to put a dollar in the plate. And then I got up to like $3 or $4. Then one day I just felt a little nudge. Said, why don't you put a 5 in? Said, ooh, now you're cutting into my lunch money after church, God. But I put a 5 in. All of a sudden, what started coming back was more and more and more, same measures. Then I thought, my goodness, the scripture's true. I started putting a $10 bill in. My wife and I have been sowing over and above our tithes. Renee, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it $200 a week? Over and above? Remember when we started? I'm sorry? Oh, it's 40. Okay, it's 40 a week, every week. Over and above our tithes and our offering. Over and above. So we give about a third of our income back to the church. Not 10%, but around 30% plus. Because we're not stupid. We're going to sow twice as much seed. If we're breaking at zero with the 10, I'm going to sow twice as much seed. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And then we started giving $40 a week over and above that, because we needed God to open up the doors and bring musicians. We've been doing that. We're still doing it. Even though the musician showed up and we didn't have a guitar player at the time. We'd been without a guitar player for 4 years. Renee started sowing $40 a week, and within a month or two, we had one guitar player show up, and now we've got another one. We have two guitar players, and she's still, somebody pray for Renee. She's still putting $40 in. We can't have 30 guitar players on the platform. You understand what I'm saying? We just can't. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the most faithful husband you will ever have throughout eternity. And he owns it all. The earth is his footstool. He owns all the wealth in the world. There's no lacking on his end whatsoever. And the truth is, many of us are half-breeds. We want to be Christian, we want to be saved, we want to be on our way to heaven, but we want to trust our J-O-B. And God is saying, that's such a sad thing. Don't you understand? You're my bride. Don't you know I love you? Don't you know that mi casa is your casa? Don't you understand? And I just want you to test me to see what I'll do. I'd like for everybody down front, is this all? Nobody else is struggling or fearful of finances and bills? And I'm talking to those of you that are, Pastor, I'm doing okay, but I just know something's going to happen. I'm just waiting for the next shoe to drop. You're welcome to come down right now. Renee and I just came out of something not too long ago, and I'm going to share it with you in closing. Renee and I were being sued, and it was a multi-million-dollar lawsuit. They requested how much money I made as a pastor. They were suing me for my finances. They were suing me for my home. They were suing me. I have three little rental properties. They were suing and trying to take all my rental properties. They were trying to sue Renee as well. I mean, it was unbelievable. When I talked to my lawyers, they said, this is what they're going after. And here was the advice. You need to counter-sue them. I said, well, I thank you for the advice, but I just can't do it. So I started praying for the people that were suing me. A guy claimed he fell on the sidewalk by my house. Not my house, but one of my rental properties. Slipped and fell. My fault, right? So the lawsuit raged on for 2 years. And the devil would come in and say, what are you going to do when you lose everything? I'd say, I'm not going to lose everything. Here's some more seed in the kingdom right here. I'm not going to lose everything. God's going to take care of me. I'm just going to keep sowing in faith and trusting that my God will make it. About 3 months ago, I got a phone call from my lawyer and said, I got great news. They've dropped the entire lawsuit. They did not. What happened, Pastor? I gave, and my heavenly Father, my eternal husband, rebuked the devourer. So I'm going to pray right now over every one of you that the fear of finances is broken off of your life, and then I'm going to bind the fear to never return. But I need you to understand something. If you don't apply the principles of sowing and reaping, the fact that I'm rebuking and getting this fear off of you, it probably is going to come back if you don't apply the principles. Are you saying we have to do it at Believer's Church? No, I'm not. I think this is good ground, but I'm not saying you have to do it here. Do it anywhere you want. But be generous in life. Just do it wherever you want. I didn't preach this so our offerings would go up. Please trust me on that. Raise your hands all across the front. Father, you are clothed in immense power, and you broke the fear of finances off my life so many years ago. And when Peter went to the gate beautiful, he looked at a lame man, and he said to the lame man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And the man rose up and walked. He was immediately healed. And God, I've had the fear of finances broken off of my life. So silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to every one of these people that are here in this altar. I command for the fear of finances to leave your life right now, and then I bind the fear of money to never come back on your life again so long as you live. Never worry about another bill. Never worry about how you're going to make ends meet. In the name of Jesus, God, that's not the will of God for Christians to live in that arena, in the land of never enough. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command for it to be broken right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command for it to be broken right now. And then I loose the freedom and the joy and the abundance of heaven. I ask you, God, to honor them as they sow seed. I want you to bless their field, God. I want you to not just bless it 30-fold, not 60-fold, God. The time is short. Bless every field in the front of this church right now with a 100-fold blessing, God, as you see fit. Give them faith to sow the seed in Jesus' name.